Today's second lesson may be found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Hear the word of the Lord. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the believers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul decided not to take with them one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, the believers commending him to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The word of the Lord. Tom Toole once told the story of a deserted house in Badgley, Pennsylvania. He said that if you peered through the windows of that house, you would see floors that had not been finished, walls that had not been painted, cabinets and fixtures that had not been installed, and, he said, you would see a large condemned sign nailed to the front door. It seems that several years ago, a family decided to build their dream house on that site. And then suddenly their finances went sour. And they came to the contractor one day and said, "We want you to use cheaper material. And he did so. One night during a severe storm, a huge crack opened in the dining room wall. The contractor arrived the next morning, saw the crack, began looking around, and realized that there were cracks everywhere in the foundation of that house. He called the building inspector, who had no recourse but to nail the condemned sign on the front of that house because it was absolutely unstable. And the family walked away from their investment. In Badgley, Pennsylvania, they call that the house that never became a home. The house that never became a home. I wonder if some of you are here this morning feeling that you are a human who has never become a person. Never fully become an alive, undivided, real person. Oh, you look great on the outside, but if folks could peer through your windows, they would see the cracks in the walls and the foundations. You've been using inferior building materials, and now you may be afraid that God, the great inspector in the sky, will tack a condemned sign to your soul. Ah, but humans are not houses, and God doesn't bulldoze people who fail, no matter how many times they fail. John Mark is living proof of what I'm saying. John Mark has three things to tell us today. First, failure is a part of life, of every life. Even the most successful people in this sanctuary today have failed, and then failed again, and again, and again. We have failed, if not in our commitment to our family, or in our performance at work, or in our obligation to our friends, then surely we have failed in our duty to God. John Mark was a failure. He signed on to accompany Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, and I have no doubt that he was highly motivated to do so. He was young. He was full of energy. He was eager to serve. But halfway through that first missionary journey, John Mark turned tail and headed for home. Now, we're not told why. Perhaps it was because the journey was far more difficult than he had anticipated. Perhaps he was afraid of bandits who regularly hijacked unwary travelers. Perhaps he was just homesick. We don't know. But when Acts 15 says that John Mark deserted them, the Greek word is apostanta, from which we get our English word apostate. So there's no weaseling out of it. There is no other word for it. John Mark was a failure, pure and simple. On my day off last Thursday, Carol and I went to see the Winston Churchill display at the Library of Congress. It's worth your time. It was a stirring reminder that when Adolf Hitler seemed all but invincible, when his Luftwaffe was reducing Britain's cities to rubble, it was Winston Churchill's speeches that rekindled courage in the British people and spurred them on to victory. But that was the Second World War. In the First World War, Churchill made a tragic blunder. While serving as First Lord of the Admiralty, he sent the British fleet to seize the Dardanelles, the sea route between the Mediterranean and the Black Sea, so the Allies could open up an eastern front against the Kaiser. The campaign was a ghastly failure. There were thousands upon thousands of casualties, and before the war was over, Churchill resigned his post as First Lord of the Admiralty and joined the British infantry in the trenches of France. Like John Mark, like you and me at times, Churchill was a failure, pure and simple. He then discovered what John Mark also discovered. Some people will never let you forget your failures. They will simply hold your feet to the fire. In the 1930s, Churchill was a political cast-off. When William Manchester wrote about those years in Churchill's life, he entitled the book Alone, because that is what happened to Winston Churchill. No one trusted him. No positions were offered to him because they would not let him forget his failure. And that's exactly what happened to John Mark. When Paul and Barnabas got together to begin the planning for their second missionary journey, Paul adamantly refused to take John Mark along. I can hear him saying to Barnabas, "Look, he blew it in Pamphylia, and I'm not taking another chance on him. Once a coward, always a coward." Paul would not let John Mark forget his failure. Evidently, Paul had forgotten all about his own failures. Think about Paul's record for a moment. Before he met Christ, he was a leading figure in the anti-Jesus movement. According to Acts 9, he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. It was Paul who held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen, that great Christian martyr. Just before his conversion, he got permission to arrest both male and female disciples in Damascus so that he could bring them back to Jerusalem and put them on trial for their lives. Now, of course, when he was converted to Christ, he readily confessed how terribly wrong he had been. "I am the foremost of sinners," he confessed to his young colleague Timothy. Yes, but when it came to forgiving John Mark for his sins, Paul had a short memory. In my experience, it is people who have the most to hide who are often the most forgiving, most unforgiving of others. When I hear somebody lambasting the president or some other public figure, I wonder what they're concealing about themselves. So if there is someone out there who refuses to forgive you, please understand that that may be more their problem than yours, because an unforgiving spirit often masks an unconfessed sin. Here's the third thing John Mark has to tell us. In spite of our failures, God wants us to succeed. And so there is Barnabas. God bless him. We talked about him last week, and here he is again. There is Barnabas standing toe-to-toe with Paul, arguing vociferously that John Mark deserves another chance. And when Paul categorically refuses, Barnabas takes John Mark under his wing, and they sail off for Cyprus for another go at the missionary endeavor. And I have wished often that we might have an addendum to the Acts of the Apostles, because from here on, the Acts tells us about the ministry of Paul. But what about the ministry of Peter? What about the ministry of Barnabas and Timothy? Those are hidden from our eyes. We don't know what went on as Barnabas and Silas went off to Cyprus to establish churches and to win people to Christ. But we do know this. Years later, when Paul wrote his letter to the Colossian church, he said this: Mark, a cousin of Barnabas, has been a comfort to me. A comfort? Paul, I thought you called him a coward. I thought you wouldn't have him anywhere near you on the second missionary journey, and now you're saying that he's a comfort to you. I wonder what had happened. And in his last letter to Timothy, Paul writes, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. He is useful in my ministry. What happened? What made Paul change his mind about John Mark? We can only guess. My guess is that Barnabas became so firmly convinced of John Mark's potential that John Mark began to believe in his own potential, whatever Paul had said about him, and then to act on that belief. And out of his failure came such a string of successes that even Paul eventually sings his praises and wants him in his company. Sir John Gielgud died recently at the age of 96, following an illustrious acting career that took him from Hamlet to Hollywood. Gielgud relished taking on the darker roles. Here's what he said about Iago and Richard III. In the first two services, I said that, and people thought I said Iago in Richard III, and I had several people correcting me after the service. Iago is not in Richard III. Iago is in Othello. Well, I know that. But here's what he said about Iago and Richard III. One is always trying to find the other side of a character, some human trait. You must try to understand why he does what he does. That is precisely how Barnabas saw John Mark. A deserter? Yes. A failure? Yes. But he also saw the potential on the other side of John Mark's character. And so Barnabas, in the name of the forgiving God, persuaded John Mark to try it again. And in time, John Mark, the failure, made good. Oh, by the way, John Mark's greatest success is a book that you've probably read. It's called The Gospel of Mark, the second book in the New Testament and the first of the four Gospels to be written. It occurred to me this week that we would not have that Gospel in our Bible if John Mark had believed and internalized what Paul said about him after the first missionary journey. We would have three Gospels instead of four had John Mark let his failure wrap him in a straitjacket. Do not let your failure straitjacket you. God loves you. God believes in you. God forgives you. God has a marvelous future for you. So, if as you peer into the depths of your soul, you see cracks in the foundation, if when you look into the recesses of your memory, you see all the failures that have been multiplying through the years, lift up your head, square your shoulders, and walk into the future unafraid. Some unfinished task, perhaps some great work, is waiting. and only you, by the grace of God, can get it done. Amen.